I am Patrick Eos, National President of Fraternal Order Police. This is the Blue View.
Well, Representative Graves, I want to thank you for joining us on the Blue View podcast. Like, you've been on here several times, and I always enjoy speaking with you. But before we get into this, I really have to take just a moment and thank you for your leadership in Windfall Munition Gun and Pension Offset, HR 82. Now, this has been a long journey for public employees that have been this injustice for 44 decades. And you have been such a staunch supporter yourself, and Representative Spanberger out of Virginia. You have been such great advocates for righting this injustice. And so, on behalf of 377,000 members of the Fraternal Order of Police, I want to thank you for what you do, and more importantly, for your support on this very, very important bill for us. Some of our viewers and listeners, this may be the first time seeing a podcast with you. If you wouldn't mind taking a minute, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Name is Garrett Graves, a member of Congress, represent South Louisiana in the United States House of Representatives. Been in Congress for almost 10 years, which is amazing. Never thought I'd be doing this long, but spent a good bit of time doing a lot of work on infrastructure issues, and was in charge of rebuilding levees after Hurricane Katrina and the coastal wetlands and things along those lines, which, Pat, brings me to the next issue. Gave me an opportunity to work side by side with people like you and others that were in law enforcement or other public service jobs that in many cases I saw the work ethic, I saw the intensity of work, but also was aware of the fact that a lot of these people were underpaid and had absolutely no idea that these people were going to be discriminated against or experience your work or this injustice that that we all now know about whenever they go to retire in terms of a reduction in their Social Security benefits.
Yeah. So those that are tuning in, if they're not familiar with windfall elimination, government pension offset, let me focus in on windfall elimination, because that's the one that's front and center. So just for those that may not be familiar with it, if you work in a public for a public agency and paid into a pension system and were exempt from paying Social Security, so originally the system was set up, it was to provide retirement benefits, but because public employees were exempt from paying Social Security because they had their own public pension, years later in 1983, actually, they passed a law or took action in Congress that says that since you're receiving a public pension of what you paid for, and since you may have left and made your points in Social Security and earned a benefit like every other American paying the same exact amount, as much as 60% of your benefit can be taken away because you're in fact a public employee, which is just unfair. It only applies to public employees. No other class of employees in the United States are impacted by this thing. As a matter of fact, if it was anything else, if it was a money manager or a pension system that was doing this type of scheme, we wouldn't call it a windfall. We would call it embezzlement. So that just for those that may not be familiar with it. So we've got some new developments here after a long, long journey. And again, I want our listeners and viewers to know that over the years, the past 4 years especially, we worked very closely, having regular meetings with yourself and the staff, Representative Spanberger, to come up with a strategy to get us to a point where we actually could get Congress to hear this injustice and try and fix it. And this would not happen if it wouldn't have been for the advocacy and taking that real strong interest. So thank you for that. And as someone who 10 years in your district, I very much appreciate and proud to call you my congressman. So let's dive into it. New developments. Something's coming down now. We've gotten to 325 co-sponsors, and a petition's being filed. So let's walk through that. Tell us what we need to do and what we need to know.
Sure. Well, look, Pat, real quick, as a result of some of the work of you and many others, we're now the second most co-sponsored bill in Congress, 325 co-sponsors. This is out of over 10,000 bills that have been introduced this Congress. So huge, huge progress, lots of bipartisan support. But look, this is a bipartisan bill. Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger and I introduced this bill back in January of 2023. And we had kind of set a strategy and put it in place back when we introduced the bill. And of course, as you know, and as I know you strongly support, the first preference is to be able to have a negotiation, to be able to amicably come to a consensus on how we're going to move forward. And we tried and we negotiated for months and months in good faith, trying to get to a point to where we could get a bill that would come through the regular order process. But ultimately, we also put a line in the Senate and said, look, if we get to September and we don't have an agreement, then we're going to have to go a different route. We're going to have to make sure that we maximize all of this strong support for the bill. And that's what we've done. And so I don't have any animosity toward anyone, but we're filing a discharge petition. And what that does is it forces the bill for a vote before the House. But Pat, as you alluded, there's a step in there. We have to get 218 signatures on our discharge petition. So we're going to file that discharge petition on September 10th. And we've got to get 218 members of Congress to sign this. Obviously, some of our co-sponsors is a target-rich audience, and we're going to be talking to them. But the sooner we get that hit that total of 218, the sooner this bill will effectively be forced for a vote before the full House. And a majority of 435 members of the House is 218. And so if we can get them on the discharge petition, that means we'll get them for a vote. Which means we will be able to successfully send this bill over to the United States Senate and make more progress on this issue than has been made in its 40 plus year history, and put this on a track to once and for all fixing this injustice and this stealing, this embezzling from hardworking American citizens.
So let's talk about some important dates there. You know, just so we know that Congress comes back into session, House comes back into session on September 9th. September 9th, the petition is actually filed. There's some procedural things you need to do, correct? And then from there, on the 10th is when members of Congress can start signing that discharge petition, correct?
Yep, the 10th will be the day when folks can start signing. That's right.
So the quicker we get to 218, what's the importance of rushing? Well, we're running out of time for this session, and we have a presidential election going that is really going to suck all the oxygen out of the room as well. It's very important that we get there as quick as we can, and this is the reality of it. And I understand. I appreciate the fact that a lot of people are really concerned about the solvency of the Social Security system, but it shouldn't be on the backs of public employees. Really, the only sin that public employees done if they chose a life of public service, and somehow we're being treated different than everyone else in the country. I say that only because there's going to be a great deal of opposition saying don't do anything that's going to hamper my Social Security system, but it's also my Social Security system as well, and in public employees all across this country, of which are required to pay the same amount as every other American, but not allowed to take the same benefits. So let's talk just a little bit about that injustice, the what we know is going to happen. People who otherwise would say, you know what, this is wrong and it needs to be fixed, are also going to be the same one saying, don't fix it. Am I off base here?
No, I think you saw a little bit of kind of behind the curtain whenever there was a hearing in Washington, D.C. And Pat, I know you were intimately aware. We had a hearing down here in Louisiana, and then we had one in Washington, D.C. The one in Louisiana was about the victims, the people that have been experiencing this money being stolen from them, these reduced benefits. The one in Washington, D.C. was more so focused on the budgetary consequences. And so what they said, which was right, they said that if you do this, you're going to be drawing down the Social Security Trust Fund sooner, meaning you're going to be cutting more checks. And they're exactly right. But Pat, The key thing here is that you have been stealing from people for 40 years. You and I could make an excellent case for how these people need to be paid back for all 40 years of stealing. And we haven't asked for that. What we've asked for, which I think was a very appropriate, very practical request, is say all we want to do is fix things prospectively. So if you've had $600 a month cut out of your check, your next check from Social Security after this bill becomes law will be $600 higher. We're not asking for the tens of billions you've stolen from these retirees and used it to artificially prop up the Social Security Trust Fund. And the issue of long-term the Social Security Trust Fund becoming insolvent, that's right. By 2034, 2035, it's predicted to become insolvent. But there's nothing that we're doing here that's going to have a significant impact on that date. It's going to still have to be fixed by Congress. And all we're doing is we're allowing that tens of billions that's been stolen to continue to be stolen. And we're moving forward prospectively and addressing the injustice for these retirees, which I think is more than fair. And so I'm not worried about that debate or argument about the increased expenditures out of the trust fund. We're fixing an injustice.
You know, I think in let's talk it just a second, because I think it's important to put this in perspective. I think when it came up with this scheme of saying we're going to find a way to level things out, the argument is that you're receiving a public pension. You're receiving a public pension, now you're receiving a public Social Security. They seem to forget the consideration that those employees paid into each one of them. They invested in this just like everyone else. If I was in a private sector and I paid into Social Security, I paid into a 401k, doesn't apply to it. But because I'm a public employee, there's some belief that people are getting rich off of the government. In reality, now technology is at a point now where we know that just simply is not the case. And so it was built on a false premise to start with. You know, I will tell you this, that, you know, my time in the leadership role of the FOP, I can tell you that it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Things can be on fire, but I will receive endless phone calls from our retirees that are saying, I need some help here. I'm at a poverty level, and I'm not asking for a handout. I'm just simply asking for what I'm owed. It's just time to fix this. It's time to fix it because it's just patently wrong. It's an injustice. It's wrong, and it needs to be fixed. And now we finally have it within our grasp to get some kind of action in the House and then kick it over to the Senate in order to be able to make something happen with it. And hopefully, you know, this year would be the year to finally, you know, to get some resolution to this. You know, I will say that it's interesting. It's been like 17 years since a committee has actually heard anything on this. And due to the leadership of yourself and Representative Spanberger, we've actually had two hearings in the House and one in the Senate. So that gives us some indication that the work that we're doing, the intention we're calling to this injustice is actually being heard. And it's if there's one thing that's certain, this thing's not going away. It needs to be fixed. And as long as it takes, we'll be fighting it because it's just not right. It's just wrong to public employees. People have dedicated their lives. Their servant heart is costing them 60% of their Social Security benefit.
Pat, you're exactly right. And look, I want to do another end zone dance on this. And it's a result of you and FOP and so many others that have been out there educating and advocating on this issue. Let me say it again, over 10,000 bills introduced in Congress. And we are the second most co-sponsored with strong bipartisan support for this legislation. You don't get there as a result of a fluke or luck. This is grit. This is hard work. This is determination. And it's amazing that we are where we are. The hearings that have occurred, the education of members of Congress, their awareness of this issue, that's evidenced by the fact that we have 325 out of 435 members of Congress that are co-sponsored this bill. And I still think we're going to become the most co-sponsored bill in Congress because we're not stopping.
I was waiting for you to finish. I wasn't going to interrupt you, but I know of at least one that is committed to signing on. So we are roughly two away from one will tie, right? Two will tie. One will be the most endorsed, most supported bill in Congress, and it's certainly something we're. I can tell you that Fraternal Order Police, we have sent letters to every member of Congress who's a co-sponsor, letting them know exactly what we need them to do. And in addition to that, we have our members in every state reaching out to their congressmen and asking the members of the House and asking them to please make this a priority on January 10th. I'm sorry, September 10th. And why is September 10th important? Well, if we're able to do this quick enough, what's the time period of which once it's actually filed, it'll take a couple of days procedurally to file it, correct?
Yeah. Yep. So if there are actually time frames where we could actually have a vote on this bill on the House floor in the month of September, if we can quickly get our signatures. Now, I expect that Congress is going to be in for most of the month of September, for the remainder of September, starting next week, the week of the 9th. And I expect that right now Congress will be in the next 2 weeks as well. So every other week, the second, third, and fourth week of September. And if that's the case, if we can quickly get our signatures, then we could have a vote on this bill in the month of September, because we're going to be out of session for October, November, and December, because of the elections are always those squirrely months. Right. I think we'll definitely be back in, but just how much and how long is always a question. So if we could get this thing voted on in September, it would be huge, because it gives us more time to turn all of our attention and efforts over to the United States Senate and get them to vote on this bill this month.
Well, I say, as I keep telling my members, it's now or never. You know, all the work that we did to get to this point means nothing if we don't close the deal. So it's so absolutely anyone's listening, tuned in to this podcast, or you know, either listening or watching, what we need you to do is we need you to go to FOP.net and click on our communication center, and we'll help give you everything you need in order to be able to contact congressmen in your area and ask them to please go on and sign on the 10th. It's important to do it on the 10th, not on the 11th, not the 12th. You know, we need them to do it on the 10th, because the clock is ticking. And if we don't close this deal, we got to start over next Congress. And you know, we're right here. We're right at the finish line. We're on goal line, and it's fourth down. It's time to make something happen here. So, again, I know you're pressed for time. I appreciate you taking this. This is not our normal format for the podcast, but this was important, and we wanted to get this recorded, and we wanted to put it out at a time when we could make a meaningful impact to our members. I want everyone to understand exactly what we're doing and why now is the time for us to make this happen. I'll let you have the closing thoughts.
Hey, look, I just want to say thanks for all y'all's education and advocacy. You're exactly right. Now is the time to sprint. God forbid, if we were unable to get this done this year, we would start all over again in January of next year. And with all of the effort, all the progress that we've made, we are absolutely within striking distance. There's been growing support in the United States Senate for this. I think they're postured to positively receive a House bill. And we could not be, in the 40 plus year history of this effort, we That's could correct. Not be more better positioned than we are today. And we've got to maximize this opportunity.
Yep. And just since you brought the House up, we're at 61 co-sponsors and author, which puts us at 62, which is a filibuster proof. If they all stay with this bill, then we should be able to get it to a vote and make something happen this year. So this is some exciting times. We finally may be able to fix it and give some hope to our retirees, those who are really struggling at poverty level because of their pensions being reduced. And to a point where it's just not fair. They dedicated their life to public service. It's time for us to be there for them. So Representative Graves, thank you. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for all you do. And I appreciate you making just a few minutes to join us here. And to our viewers and listeners who are tuning in to the Blue View podcast, thank you for tuning in, where we talk about the issues that are so vitally important to the men and women who suit up and show up every day and make a difference in the lives of those we serve. Thank you.
Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. To get the latest from the National FOP, make sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at GLFOP and on Instagram at FOP National. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.